Well, today I want to tell you that I am so happy to be here. I have been in Dallas all week, majority of the week, for a pastor's conference there at Fellowship Church, and just heard some great speakers from around the U.S. and world speaking to pastors there as a pastor's conference. And I just really filled up this morning and just really refreshed my spirit. So I just thank you that you allowed me to go and to have those times away to get my tank full and to continue to have new ideas and things spoken to me through the Holy Spirit. So this week I've asked Pastor Matt to come and to share with you as I was gone this week. And I'm excited. If you're a first-time guest today or you haven't been here very long, you're in for a treat as you get a chance to hear our youth pastor today. Welcome him today as he comes to speak to us. Give him a hand clap. Pastor Matt, come.
All right. How many of you guys are ready? This morning, I used to work at Sam's Club. And for a while when I worked at Sam's Club, I worked like this early morning shift. It was 5 o'clock in the morning to 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And at one point when I was working there, I worked in the dairy cooler. So basically, I'd get there at 5 o'clock, I'd go into this dairy cooler, and I'd be in there completely by myself for about 5 hours till the club opened. And then I'd have to go out on the floor and do other things. But those mornings when I was in there, you know, have you ever been somewhere like by yourself and you get a song stuck in your head and you just can't get it out? Well, this one particular morning I was working there at Sam's Club. I was in this cooler by myself. I didn't have a radio or anything in there. So I'm in there all morning long and this song is just stuck in my head. And it was a praise and worship song that we used to do. And I believe the name of it was actually "This Is How We Overcome." And it was this song. I'm not going to sing for you, but it was the song, and it went, "This is how we overcome, and you have turned my morning into dancing." And I guess it's a good song. I didn't particularly care for the song myself. I just didn't care for it. It wasn't my style. But there's this one part in the song where you would just sing, "This is how we overcome, this is how we overcome." We always did this thing at the church that I went to at that time where everybody would do like this, "This is how we," there you go, that's as close as I get to singing. "This is how we overcome," and they'd do this thing, you know, like raise the roof. And it was stuck in my head that morning. I couldn't get it out. I was trying to like sing other songs and it just stuck in my head. And so finally I was like, okay, maybe there's a reason this song is stuck in my head. And against my better judgment, I started really contemplating the song and what it meant. And I started thinking, okay, I don't know what raising the roof has to do with anything as far as overcoming. I don't get it. So I started to think about it and started to pray about it and just really begin to just think about that song. And as I got to thinking about it, it wasn't, of course, the actual action that did anything. The raising the roof doesn't help you get over anything in your life, except maybe stiff elbows. But the prayer, the praise, and the worship is what helps us overcome. And so as I begin to think about that, I begin to get excited. Now, I have to confess, I still don't like that song. But the message to that song began to take new meaning in my life. And I began to really realize, I think for the first time in my life, how much power we had available to us through our worship. And so this morning I want to talk to you about the power of worship. And as I was reading through the Bible and studying and in my own life, I've come to realize that there's three different forms of worship. And each one of them has a very specific purpose for us in our lives. And so the first one that I want to talk to you about this morning is worship as reaction. And basically what this means in a nutshell is worshiping in response for what God has done. This is probably the most common form of worship. In fact, this is what we did just minutes ago this morning, what we did earlier. It's worshiping God for what he's done and for who he is and what he means to our lives. And the Bible is full of accounts throughout the entire Bible of this type of worship. Most of the Psalms, if you guys turn to the very middle of your Bible, the biggest book in the Bible, most of the Psalms are written as this type of worship, but written as worship to God for the things he has done. In Psalm chapter 9, verses 1 and 2, it says this, "I will thank you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all the marvelous things you have done. I will be filled with joy because of you. I will sing praises to your name, O Most High." Now, here's the cool thing about this type of worship. This type of worship ushers us in to the presence of God. It brings us into the very presence of God. When you study the Old Testament and you study in Exodus and Leviticus and Deuteronomy, when they're talking about the building of the tabernacle, which is what the Israelites, it was a tent in this whole area that the Israelites carried with them from place to place, wherever they went as they wandered throughout the wilderness, and then finally when they settled in the land of Israel, this was where God dwelt. And in this tabernacle, there was an outside court, and then there was a big tent, and this big tent was split into two separate rooms. And in the back was what was called the holiest of holies, or the most holy place. And right in front of that, separated by a curtain that was something like a foot thick, and like, I didn't look all exactly what the measurements were. I think it was like 15 feet high and like 30 feet wide, separating the holiest of holies and the holy place is what it was called. And anybody, well, not just anybody, the priest could come into the holy place, and that's where they ministered. And there were all these different articles there in the holy place. We don't have time to get into all of them. But there was one specifically that sat right in front of the curtain that separated the holy place from the holiest of holies. And this was called the altar of incense. And there was a specific blend of incense that had to be burned on that altar all of the time. And it could only be used in that spot. It can never be used. In fact, the Bible is very clear. It says that if anybody else uses this mixture of incense for personal use, they're to be cut off from the rest of the people. That incense was specifically made just for that purpose. And so what would happen on the Day of Atonement, which was the only day of the whole year that the high priest could enter into the most holy place, he had to come to that altar of incense and burn incense. And here's the cool part. That incense represented the praise and the prayer of the people of Israel, is what the Bible says. That incense represented the praise of Israel to God. And so what would happen is that high priest would come and he would have that incense, and that's what he would take into the most holy place with him. Now that curtain that was there, there was no split in that curtain. He couldn't just kind of open it up and step in. And so there's one of two ways that people believe that the high priest would go in. Either he would literally have to get down on his knees and crawl in underneath the bottom of that curtain into the holiest place, or, and this is what I believe, that he was literally, as he was in the presence of that incense and that aroma was overtaking that area, which represented the praises of the people of Israel, that he was transported into the holiest of holies, into the very presence of God. See, the Bible says that in Psalms that he dwells in the prayer of his people. And the same thing that happened with the high priest, as he would be in the aroma and that incense and that powerful smell which represented the praise of the people, he would be ushered into the presence of God. The same thing is true in our lives. That when we are praising God and worshiping God, and that, like what was happening this morning, we are ushered into the presence of God just like that high priest was. It ushers us into the presence of God. See, there's something about the worship of his people that draws God's attention. Just like you and I. You know, when somebody is, if you've ever overheard somebody talking about you, you know, you'll kind of stop and listen, and if it's something good, you're like, yeah, hey, I want to go hang out with those people. They're talking good about me. It's the same thing with God. When we're worshiping God and we're thanking God for all the wonderful things that he's done in our lives and for everything that he means to us, and we're worshiping God, he hears us. And I believe his ear kind of pricks up a little bit, and he says, wait a second. There's somebody over here that's worshiping me. I'm going to go there. I want to be with them. I want to hang out with them. There's somebody over here, there's a church over here that's really worshiping me. I want to go and be in that church and be there with them. Our praises and our worship draw God's presence to us. And see, when we worship God, what we are doing is we are literally aligning ourselves with the very throne room of God where he is being praised up in heaven. In Revelation chapter 4, verse 8, this is a vision that John was having of the throne room of God. And it says, day after day and night after night, they keep on saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, the one who always was, who is, and who is still to come. See, in the throne room of God, that's constantly going on. Constantly, they are always singing day after day and night after night. There are angels there singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." And so when we begin to worship God and we begin to praise Him, what we are doing is we are adding our voices to that chorus, and we are stepping into the throne room of God through our worship. A true encounter with the presence of God is life-changing. I can tell you, as being a part of this church from the very beginning and knowing Pastor Gene for years and Pastor Mel for years and years, that is why worship is such an important part of our church. That is why when we sat and talked and Pastor Gene and Mel began to share with us their vision and what they wanted this church to be before we ever got started, that was one of the most important things, is that worship. We want worship. We want you to encounter God every time you walk into this building in a real and tangible way, and that happens through our worship. That's why we're constantly trying to grow in our worship. As a worship team up here on stage, we're constantly talking about how can we grow, how can we push in our worship. That's why we learn new songs. Some of you may be like, man, it seems like we do a new song every single week. But we're pushing ourselves, and in so doing that, as we begin to worship and we begin to take steps forward as the worship team and the leaders of this worship, what happens is that you as a church begin to step along behind us and follow us and begin to grow in your worship. Some of you may not worship the same way that we worship. You may have not grown up the same way worshiping God like we do here in our church. For some of you, it's a big deal to actually sing the words. All your life in church, nobody actually has sung the words. They just mouth the words and the choir sings it up front. So it's a big deal for you to take that step and say, I'm actually going to sing the words to this song. For some of you, you've grown up in church your whole life and you've been to a church that, you know, may sing, but they didn't ever clap. They didn't ever show any emotion like that. And so it may be a big deal for you to just clap along with the beat of the song, but you're growing in your worship and God takes notice of that. For some of you, you've been stale for too long doing the same thing. Some of you need to step out and grow yourself and push yourself in worshiping and begin to raise your hands or to fall on your knees before God in your worship. God wants that and He desires that. And the Bible says He takes notice of that. When you push yourself in worship, God is drawn to you. And so as a church, as a worship team, we are constantly trying to push ourselves in our worship, so that we will never become stale, because if we grow stale, then the whole church will grow stale. But you have to push yourself. You have to take that next step. Worship as reaction allows you to connect with God in a very real way. The second thing, as I've looked through the Bible, is worship as action. And this is very simply just worshiping through our everyday activities. This one is a little bit harder to grasp, and it's even harder to put into practice in our everyday lives. Worship as action just means living every moment as worship to God. In fact, the Bible even says, 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22, "But Samuel replied, 'What is more pleasing to the Lord, your burnt offerings and sacrifices, or your obedience to His voice?' Obedience is far better than sacrifice. Listening to Him is much better than offering the fat of rams." Now, what he's talking about there is the sacrifices and the offering of the fat of rams was how the Israelites worshiped God as a corporate body. And they would come and they present these offerings and these sacrifices to God. And what Samuel is saying there is, you know what, that's great, and God loves that, and He even demands that we do that. But it's more important to Him, to God, that you worship God every day of your life through your obedience, through your actions of your everyday life. That is more pleasing to God than this is. We have to worship God with our actions. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, Paul says this, "Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice." There it is again. A living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. What does that mean to you? What does it mean to make our everyday actions worship to God? That's what Paul is saying there. You have to present your bodies as a sacrifice, as an offering to God. That is what worship really is. Lucky for us, Paul again in Ephesians chapter 6 says this. Work hard, but not just to please your masters when they are watching. As slaves of Christ, do the will of God with all your heart. Work with enthusiasm as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. That right there is what it means to worship as action. Worshiping as action means doing everything that you do for God. I hate busy work. When I was in high school, I just absolutely detested geometry and algebra because I understood it, but it just took so long to do. And we had one of these math teachers that thought math was the only subject and nothing else mattered. And so she would assign us like 40 problems, and each one would take us like 15 minutes to do. And I just wouldn't do it. I would go through and I'd make sure I knew how to do it. I understood it. I'd do one of each kind or whatever, and I'd skip the rest because I hate busy work. I'm the same way. As I've grown older, it irks me to have to do like the little tidying up and the just the little busy work that you have to do in jobs. But according to the scripture, if I'm going to worship God with my actions, I have to do those things as if God was the one that asked me to do them. And see, and that means the big things and the small things. Worship as action means doing everything for God, whether it's performing brain surgery or grilling burgers, whether it's mission work in Brazil or cleaning up trash in a local park, whether it's trying to land the big account that's going to save your company or filling out paperwork that's just going to sit on somebody's desk in an office until the cleaning lady throws it away. See, when we make our everyday actions worship God, we walk in His presence wherever we go. That's what that means. And so some of you may be struggling with, man, I feel His presence just so awesome when I'm at church on Sunday mornings or on Wednesday nights when we sing. I just feel God's presence so awesome, but it seems like when I walk out into my everyday life, I lose it. And I don't know where it's gone, and I just can't feel God at work the same way I can feel God at church. It's because you need to live this principle. When you make your actions, your everyday actions, worship to God, the same principle applies to that as it does to this worship here. When you make your actions worship to God, God draws His attention. And He takes notice of you. And He wants to be there with you. And He wants to walk with you. And He wants you to abide in His presence daily. But some of you need to change your attitudes. I've had to do it in my life. That God, you know what? I don't like sitting here doing these little things. But God, I'm going to do it. And I'm going to do it the best that I possibly can. Because that's what worship means. It means worshiping You no matter what it is, worshiping You with my actions, doing these things as though I was working for You rather than for people. Worshiping God as actions just means doing everything for God. The third one is this. Worship is proaction. This simply means worshiping as if it's already happened. This is the hardest one to do. Worship as proaction means worshiping God through our struggles. In Psalm chapter 13, the first two verses. O Lord, how long will You forget me? Forever? How long will You look the other way? How long must I struggle with anguish in my soul, with sorrow in my heart every day? How long will my enemy have the upper hand? Those two verses there are just filled with sorrow and struggle. And I know in my own life that I've had times like that where I feel like God has just completely forgotten me. And it feels like I can't get a hold of Him in any way, no matter how hard I try. And I think most of us can at least identify, at least partly with that, where we've gone through times where we struggled. This is David writing this, and it's just filled with such pain and hurt. We've all had those times in our lives where we are hurting and struggling, whether it's physical or emotional or spiritual. And it may seem that God doesn't even hear us, that he's completely turned his back on us. That's what David was feeling when he wrote this. But see, the last two verses in this psalm tell a different story. Bring those up, verses 5 and 6. But I trust in your unfailing love. I will rejoice because you have rescued me. I will sing to the Lord because he has been so good to me. Now, do you think when he wrote this, in the time it took him to write those first two verses, there's only two other verses in this chapter. There's just six verses. Do you think anything really changed in those six verses in his life as he was writing that? No, I don't think it did. But he says, I will rejoice because you have rescued me. Not, I will rejoice because I know one of these days I'm going to struggle and I'm going to have all this pain and I'm going to go through all this, but eventually, maybe, I'll get better. That's not what he says. I will rejoice because you have rescued me. He's worshiping as if it's already happened. David knew a greater truth than what he was living. You see, he may have been living in hurt and sorrow and pain, but he knew a greater truth, that God loved him. Oh, how he loves us. His love is unfailing. It doesn't matter if you feel it or not. It doesn't matter if you feel him hugging you and loving on you right at the moment. His love is unfailing. Paul deals with the same thing in Romans chapter 7. He spends the majority of the chapter talking about this struggle of his that he's having with sin. And it's very confusing, especially if you read it in the King James. Some of you may really like the King James, and that's great. I don't understand half of it, so I don't read that very often. But when you read the King James, if you want a good laugh sometime, just look up Romans chapter 7 and read it in the King James. It'll make your head spin. But he talks about this struggle in his life, and he talks about this, you know, I want to do good. I know the difference between what's right and what's wrong. I know the difference between what God wants me to do and what God doesn't want me to do, and I really want to do what God wants me to do. But at the same time, that's my spirit man and my flesh. I want to do what God doesn't want me to do. How many of you guys can identify with that? I can. I've been there, where I know what God wants me to do, but at the same time, I'm like, oh, but this looks like so much fun. I just want to, just a minute. I'll be with you in a second, God. That's what Paul's talking about. He's talking about the struggle that he has, where he knows what's right and he knows what's wrong, and his spirit wants to do what's right, but his flesh keeps pulling him towards what's wrong. And that struggle, when you're in the midst of that struggle, it's hard. The temptation and the draw of the flesh seem to be too much for him to handle. And the struggle appears to be overtaking him, but how he ends this chapter is great. Romans chapter 7, 24 and 25. Oh, what a miserable person I am. I've been there. When you mess up and you know you've done something wrong and you know you've fallen in, you know you've sinned, you're just like, God, how could I do that again? How could I mess up and fall in the same place that I've messed up and fallen time after time? Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin? Thank God. Just stop right there. Just stop right there. Here he spent this whole chapter talking about his struggle and his, how he's fallen time after time after time. And he's saying, God, I'm just so miserable in this life. I'm just so miserable with the struggle. Who is going to possibly save me from this? Thank God. Praise God. I'm struggling. Praise God. I can't overcome by myself. Praise God. The answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. See, even though Paul knew that by himself the struggle was hopeless, he knew an even greater truth. The answer was in his Savior. And even though he couldn't see the way out by himself, even though he didn't have the strength to overcome in himself, Even though sitting in the situation that you're in, you may not be able to see how you're going to get yourself out of this financial mess that you're in. Even though he didn't know how to save his marriage. Even though he couldn't see the light at the end of the tunnel. Even though he couldn't reach out and save that lost one that he had been praying for so long by himself. He was going to thank God. You don't have to know the answers. You don't have to know the specifics. Some of you are struggling in your lives, regardless of what it is, whether it's financial or emotional problems or spiritual problems, or like I said, you've been praying for somebody to be saved and they just haven't made it. Some of you just are struggling and you're hurting and you're wondering, how is this going to happen? You don't have to know the specifics. All you have to know is thank God. Worship God in the darkness and dawn will begin to break. Worship God in the coldest part of the winter and spring will begin to blossom. Worship God in the pain and the healing will begin to flow in your life. Worship God in brokenness and wholeness will overcome. Worship God as if it's already happened and watch Him show up and take care of it. That is what worship as proaction means. I didn't want to talk for very long this morning because worship is action. That's what I've been talking about this whole morning is worship is action. And so our praise team is going to come back up and we're going to do the stand, that last song that we did. We're going to do it again. But are you plugged into the power of worship? Worship can change your life. When you begin to grow in your worship, you begin to grow in this in your life, and you begin to put these principles into action in your life, it changes who you are. And so this morning, first of all, if everybody would bow your heads and close your eyes. Maybe you're here this morning and maybe you haven't yet made the decision to make Jesus the God of your life. We've talked about before, Jesus, God, Yahweh, is a personal God. He wants to be your personal God. And so this morning, if there's anyone here, I don't ever want to miss the opportunity. If you're here this morning and you have not made Jesus your personal Savior, we want to give you that opportunity. If there's anyone here this morning that would like to say, yes, I want to make that decision, I want to make that commitment, with every head bow, if you'd please just raise your hand. We want to pray with you this morning. Anyone at all? Okay. So this morning what I want to do is I've prayed about how we need to end this what God would have us do. I want to give you the opportunity to push yourself in worship, to grow. And maybe this morning as I've been talking and I talked about worship as reaction, maybe you've said, you know what? I have not grown in my worship in the church setting as I should. And I need to take that next step in my worship. Whatever that next step is for you, this is the time to do it. Or maybe this morning as I was talking about worship as action, as worshiping God with everything that you do and every action and everything in your daily life. Maybe something clicked and you said, that's why I've been struggling Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Because I haven't made that truth a part of my life. We're going to give you the opportunity to stand up and say, I want to make that happen. Or maybe you're struggling today. There's something on your heart. There's something in your mind that is keeping you from worshiping God. whether it's physical or spiritual or emotional, God wants you to worship Him as if He's already shown up and taken care of it. So as we end this service and as they sing this song, this is what I want you guys to do, is I want you to come forward, and whatever it is, whatever these things that I've talked about this morning, we're going to come, and I want you to come to the front, and we're going to worship God through this song, and we're going to grow, and we're going to put worship in action in our church. And when we do that, God shows up. And if we can continue to grow and we can continue to move forward in our worship, God will continue to bless us and be here every time that we're here, and will dwell in our presence. And we will be able to experience God in new ways that we've never felt Him before. So as they sing this song, I want you guys to come forward and let's worship God.
So now to stay. So why can't I?
guys need to worship God and you need to break through that barrier. As we sing this next part of this song, and it says, so I'll stand with arms wide open, arms held high to God. Some of you need to break that. And when you break that barrier that has been placed there, break through that worship, God does something amazing in your life. So whatever it is, wherever you've been in your worship, this is the time to break through. This is the time to take that next step. If you're hurting, God wants you to break that hurt. He wants to heal your body. Worship as if it's already happened. Worship God and watch Him take your situation and just completely turn it around this morning. Hallelujah. Go ahead.
Pastor Matt, what a powerful word today, and I believe it goes hand in hand what we've been talking about over the last month, even on the power of connecting. And when we connect through God's presence, and we connect through God's presence through worship, and connecting to God's presence through worship. And remember, we're talking about the power of vision and how David shared the vision. David and Solomon shared the vision, and the elders came and they shared the vision, and it said the people began to rejoice over the vision, even though they had nothing. God, nothing had been built yet, nothing had been happened yet. And remember, we challenge you to see yourself when you come in to worshiping like it's the first day in the new building. Worship like it's the first time. And this is not only for the vision of our building here, but I guarantee you, as Pastor Matt is talking about today, some of you have some prayer in your life. You have things in your life that you're asking God for. Some of you are praying that your children give their heart back to God or come to Christ. Some of you are praying like you need a healing and a breakthrough in your life. Some of you are praying that God would do something in your finances. I just challenge you, whatever that area is that you're praying about, that if God was to answer that prayer tomorrow, how would you worship Him? That's what Pastor Matt was saying. How would you worship Him? If God answered that prayer tomorrow, how would you worship Him? And say, God, I'm going to believe that. That's going to happen. God, I'm stepping into a realm of faith and saying, God, I believe that, God, You are able. As Pastor Matt was talking, Pastor Matt, we believe that today. That God is the God that we worship Him in faith. And so I just guarantee, so let's do it right now. As we close out the service, I want you just to close your eyes. I want you to lift your hands up to the Lord today. And I want you to just think about, what is it that you're asking God for? What is it you're believing God for? Different things, many different things in here. Some of you need things happening at your work, in your family, in your finances, in your health, in your job. You got things that are happening in your marriage you're asking God for. But whatever it is, I want you to think about that. Now, I want you to get to praise God like He's answering that prayer right now. I want you to get to praise God like He's giving you that breakthrough. There you go. Thank you, Father. Yeah. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. We thank you, God. Yeah. We thank you, God, that you are a mighty God. You are a faithful God. We thank you, God. We thank you, God, that, Lord, you're the God who answers our prayers. You're the God who honors our faith. You're the God who brings us through, God, the darkest hour. You're the God who sets our feet back on the right place. You're the God who directs our footsteps. And God, today we believe, that God, that you're going to bring us through. God, you're going to see that, God, the vision is going to come to pass. Our children are going to come home. Lord, we're going to be breakthrough, God, in every area of our prayer, God. And we thank you, God, and praise you. Giving you praise. Giving you praise. Giving you honor, Lord. Thanking you. Hallelujah, Lord. Amen. Wow. See, that's just what it should be. Every week when we come together, we're thanking the Lord. God, I thank you. It's not getting my eyes focused on the problem. It's my eyes focused on the healer, the redeemer, the problem solver. The salvation that lies within the Lord. I don't focus my eyes upon the valley. I focus my eyes upon the hills. The whence cometh my help? My help cometh from you, O Lord. See, that's what the Psalms were saying. I may be walking through the valley of the shadow of death, but I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. I got to quit preaching because I ain't my time to preach today. All right, but you know, I've been in a preacher's conference all week. I can't help it, okay? You guys know me. All right, this is what I want you to do. I want you to turn to somebody, give them a big smile. I want you just to shake your hand. If you want to give them a hug, you can. We say, God bless you today. Continue to worship the Lord all week long. Power in worship, the power in worship.